Hello, this is Chris, and this is the Global City Mission Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Joey, our mobilization catalyst in Atlanta, Georgia. And on today's podcast, we're just catching up from a busy summer and talking about what GCMI has been up to, what's happening this fall, and kind of where we've been. Because I know we said we were going to do every other week episodes. And, you know, if your summer was like our summer, it was June yesterday, and now it's it's September all of a sudden. So welcome, yeah. Joey. Glad to finally be back with you and kind of jumping into a new season.
I know. I'm excited to be back. I did enjoy these, and I do enjoy the podcast, and I enjoy recording them and talking with people. So I did miss it, but you're right. It was a crazy summer. It got away
crazy
from me.
Crazy summer.
And as a lot of people probably completely understand, you know, first off, summer is crazy because, you know, you got your kids or your, in my case, you know, our wives are teachers.
Oh yeah.
So they're out. And when they're out, like now this summer was crazy for me because usually I'm going to an office. But now I'm working from home and I'm having to figure out what it working from home look like with a house full of people. You know,
For those of you who don't know, Global City Mission is intentionally headquarterless. Like that was a decision that Jared made in the early days of like, what would it look like to have, you know, this kind of like streamlined distributed network of missionaries versus, you know, kind of the typical headquarter missions agency. And the huge advantage of that is our budget doesn't have to be as big as some of those other organizations, but the disadvantage, especially for you in year one of kind of like figuring out what this looks like is every June, my family invades my house.
Every June invade my workspace and they don't go away until like the end of the summer. So that was fun. It was interesting. I mean, one of the things that we tried to do as a family was I tried to involve them a little bit. So we would have like little adventure days, like on Fridays where we'd intentionally go to maybe some international parts of the city just to kind of walk around and sort of immerse them a little bit of it. So we try to do a little bit of that. So it's kind of a little bit of like, I took them on that. That's kind of one of the fun things this summer is I got to kind of take them along with me. They went to some conferences with me, and got to sort of, experience some of the cool things. In fact, my wife, one of the conferences I went to, my wife and daughter were probably better at the job than I was. they came with me and they sat at the table for a day and like they had more people coming by and talking to them than me the day before standing there by myself. It was just easier. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, the young kids definitely outcute the older men.
For sure.
Yeah. So let's just kind of start back at the beginning. I know we both did a little bit of family traveling, but you went to a couple conferences. I went to a couple weeks of church camp. Let's talk about that a little bit. Like, tell us about where you were at and why you were there. And
So my sort of summer started with a trip to Washington, D.C. And I was at the National African American Missions Council. They have a conference. So this particular conference is really dedicated to mobilizing the African-American community to missions. And so it was actually a great opportunity to be there. It was a little smaller conference, but it was one that allowed us to sort of mingle and talk a little bit more. And so we were there really because we wanted to show that we're all about mobilizing and diversity in our and our team, and so it was really neat to kind of be there with a lot of other different ministries, but also a lot of churches, and then to hear sort of the African American perspective on missions and on mobilization was quite fascinating. So we were there for, I think I was there for 3 days. There at had a booth and a table. We actually, one of the good connections that came out of that was we had a good school connection. So coming out of that.
Nice.
So.
Well, and this is a community that, especially, you know, kind of the traditional mission agency, this is a particularly hard to mobilize, church community. They're their rhythms of church, their rhythms of giving, their church structures, their history, the idea of the way we do missions historically does not quite line up with the way they do missions historically.
Right.
And so I know we've had conversations with, you know, African American students over the years, you know, that they want to go into missions. Maybe they even want to go into missions with us. But when we start getting into that actual, like, okay, let's start talking partner raising and let's start talking finances of how are you going to do this? There's just a roadblock because mm-hmm. their churches aren't used to having the same conversations that like the churches you and I grew up in.
Yeah.
Like us going to our churches and saying, hey, we want you to support us. Like that's a normal conversation and that's not a normal conversation right. for them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so
that's definitely a hurdle. Definitely a hurdle. And it was interesting to hear them discuss. And then it was also interesting though, to hear them sort of challenge and say, well, we got to find a new way
forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was curious, like, is that the conversation that they're having internally, like it, as their organization, as their group, or is it, we need a new model, or is it, we need our churches to step up in a new way, or.
It's definitely a new model. That was okay. definitely the heart of the conversation. It wasn't so much because, you know, a lot of what they talked about, especially, was a lot of these potential missionaries are probably going to come, one, from churches that are smaller. And of course, we do too, but it's just a different kind of thing. When, not to get too crazy in it, but I mean, you're also talking about financial disparity between people right. groups, right? And so yeah. A lot of those churches, though, you know, we may have smaller churches that support us, the financial disparity between the two are oftentimes so out of whack that, you know, a lot of a smaller church that's probably made up more of Caucasians and whites is probably going to be able to afford more than what a more smaller African-American church might be able to. But then there's also just the cultural reality of having to go ask for money, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but they were discussing new models. Like we've got to find a new way of, I think they would love to see churches support it, but they're also thinking, what are yeah. some new ways for them to sort of pursue missions?
How can we do it different? Because we know we right. want to see more on the mission field, and
yeah, and they have great things to offer, right, to the mission field. That there's a whole array of things that part of the body of Christ can bring to the table, and we need
absolutely.
Them on the field.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, it's like if we can help find that help, if we can help and in any way and participating in a new kind of culture, we, you know, okay. What yeah. does that look like?
No, I know the, when we first kind of stumbled across that conference, that event, you know, but before you were on the team, even Jared and I had been talking about that and how do we get somebody there? Because we know that there's aspects to the story that we just don't know or understand.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to mobilize more people to be more effective in the kingdom for the mm-hmm. gospel, like it's going to be more than the quote, what we've always done. And so yeah. that's going to include more diversity on our team. But if there's going to be more diversity, we're stepping, you know, like even weirder than us stepping across cultural lines to go, how do we reach people for the gospel? But now you're stepping into other cultural lines of, you know, the historic Black church mm-hmm. and, you know, especially in the South, like, yeah. That's a different world, even than, you know, crossing the street and talking yeah. to our Muslim friends about Jesus, like,
yeah.
you know, and so that's great. I'm glad we're starting some conversations there and, you know, building some network there. And, you know, whether we're a part of that conversation as input or whether we're a part of that conversation as learning or whether we're a part of that conversation as mobilization, we just know yeah. that we need more people on the field to yeah. to make a difference for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of summer. That was June. And yeah, shortly after that, I think you headed out to Kentucky yeah. or was that the
yeah,
next month?
Like 2 weeks,
It was 2 weeks later.
It was like 2 weeks later, but it was July. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it was both. So in July, yeah. I was in Louisville for 4 days, 3 or 4 days, at the E4 conference, which is a conference is put on by the Association of Campus Ministries. And so it was college campus ministers and their ministries come together like a network to encourage one another to sort of learn. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Cause I mean, you're there with a bunch of campus ministers.
So, yeah. Which, I mean, you know,
it's a bunch of college kids. It's basically youth ministry for college kids, a bunch of youth guys. And so it was fun. And it was interesting too. I really enjoyed their speaker for that week. It was a guy named Pete Coco, longtime campus minister. I want to say Michigan State or University of Michigan. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I really enjoyed him because he was really bringing in some really interesting thoughts, methodology to campus ministry that resonates with the style of methodology and ministry that we do as a ministry. Okay. So it's kind of like he's bringing those kinds of things and encouraging these campus ministries to explore what it might look like to mobilize their students to go into their places to, and give them the authority to sort of gather groups. It was really encouraging to see. And I enjoyed that time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know, like, you know, part of the thinking for us, right? Like your role is mobilization. You're going to this college ministry event, you know, wearing that hat of mobilization. I think you and I have had this conversation before, but I know I've had it a lot over the years, of watching these campus ministries actually mobilize people for kingdom, sometimes more effectively than our Bible colleges are.
Yeah.
And so again, you know, how do we find that funnel? How do we kind of tap that group of people, not just to have an impact on those campuses, but really to find, you know, that engineering student who really has a heart for Jesus and wants to see, you know, an impact in his community when he graduates from college and goes off, you know, not just be a church member, but but be a part of the kingdom story in whatever community he lands in. And
I would say that one of the resounding things that I heard there, and I've heard from my own friends who do campus ministry, is this, where they feel a weight more than anything else is what their students are going to do beyond their ministry. Mm. Right. So they're graduating kids, and a lot of them are concerned with, they're not going to find a church that's going to allow them to have as meaningful participation and involvement maybe as they used to have at the campus ministry.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of them are saying that a lot of their graduates, a lot of their alumni are not heavily involved in anything, because part of that is they're still looking for that campus ministry experience. And so they kind of have to.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is, right, yeah, growing out of youth group and then going to big church, right? Like,
right, yeah. And quite honestly,
of course it's not the same. We don't play a game at the beginning of the service.
Well, campus ministries, and I mean this lovingly, but a lot of them are basically just youth groups at college.
Right.
Okay. So they have to learn to kind of move past that. That's definite. But at the same time, you're talking about kids who are oftentimes going to these cities. Right. They have every intention of moving to a city. They have every intention of going into a secular environment and world. And so they're in this great place. It's just that they don't know, they don't feel maybe the empowerment, or they don't know what to do. And I think that's one of the great places for us as GCMI, is that we can come in with some of these campus ministries with our cohort or something more tangible, like an actual training, and be able to say to them, like, here, let's give you tools. Let's give you the ability to live out and embody the Great Commission. You could do that while on campus right now. And then as you practice that, that becomes a part of your natural rhythm. And so when you get out of school, you're just going to do what you've always done because it's become a natural part of who you are and what you've done.
Yeah. Yeah. We should probably do an episode dedicated to campus ministry or maybe a couple of them. Cause I know I met some guys at Exponential this past year that like this very much is their heart is how do we connect, you know, church planters and missions agencies with campus ministry graduates because of that very thing. They're ready. They're on fire. Some of them are equipped and trained. And then they end up in a church that doesn't want to use them because they're, you know, well, you're only 22. What could you know? Which is hilarious to me because like you and I were 22 when we graduated. They'll hire us
for youth ministry at 22.
And man, we took kids out of the state in rented beat-up vehicles.
Like, they trusted us. Oh my gosh.
Here's the church credit card and keys to a $40,000 truck. Good luck. And
yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, that's the
ridiculousness.
Right. But yeah, no.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's funny. Yeah. You're right.
So, yeah, I'm glad you were there. We're beginning.
Yeah, definitely.
We know that we want to have a bigger impact. We've done some college groups through our cohort. Yep. You know, one of our friends out on the West Coast is in charge of a campus ministry, and he brought like 20 of his kids through the cohort, one of our early runs of the cohort. And it really is. Those college kids are excited to make a difference in the world. And if we can give them those tools. And so how do we just kind of close that loop?
Yeah,
right. Right before you were in Louisville, I was at a week of camp at Lake Aurora. And
Lake Aurora.
Yeah.
Man, I miss that place.
Yeah, I had a couple of very surreal moments driving around the orange groves. And like, man, the last time I was here, like Joey and I were doing this at like 3 a.m. raiding the other camp. And like, we probably shouldn't let people know that, but we were
model.
Yeah, that's right.
Leaders.
We did nothing. Well, I will say we did not start that battle with the other.
That is true. We did not start that with the other team.
Yeah, we won though. So that's all that matters.
You just finished it.
But yeah, no, it's kind of an interesting, this is the second year that I've been able to do this, but been able to kind of, you know, serve, you know, most church camps, you know, in our kind of network of churches and camps, most of them will have a missionary for the week. And I got to go as the missionary and, you know, it's an opportunity to raise a little funds, help, you know, support my ministry here. But I kind of took the approach of, you know, what if we are kind of casting vision for the imagination of what would it look like, you know, as a high school student, because this was a high school week of camp, but like as a high school student, what would it look like to look at your city, your neighborhood, your school differently, but then also cast a little vision for, you know, what are you going to do in college and then, you know, post-college with your life?
Yeah.
And I actually had conversation with, you know, a couple of students very, very seriously interested in, you know, how do I, you know, I mean, like, and because, you know, language is limited and, you know, how they've grown up, like their question was, how do I become a missionary? It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the nuance that we would want them to find over the course of time and education, because I think there's more than just that checkbox of like, how do I become a missionary? But both of them, I think what we're doing in cities and doing cross-culturally kind of shifted their imagination. They were both kind of considering, you know, maybe I go off to school to be in missions work.
Yeah.
But, you know, missionaries look like that guy who moves to Africa and, you know, goes out into the village and like, but what if I moved to a city in Africa and had an impact, or, you know, in, you know, the one student wants to do work in Japan, like in particular wants to find himself in Japan. And like, and, you know, and for GCMI in particular, like, I don't know that in 4 years when you graduate from college, 5 years when you graduate from college, that we'll be ready to be in Japan, but we're ready right now tomorrow to be in LA or San Francisco or Seattle or, you know, one of these places that has a decent Japanese population. Yeah. And then 2 to 3 to 4 years after that, you could be a part of, and like, you could just see their eyes lighting up. And so,
yeah.
So, I mean, again, it was a great week, you know, doing the typical missionary at camp kind of thing, but like to be able to have this opportunity to have conversations with students of, you know, you could kind of see them imagining this other possibility than it's either, you know, be a pastor at a church or go to Africa, but what about the in between? Like,
yeah,
you know, what are other ways that I can engage in the mission of Jesus? So it was a great week. My kids got to go as well, which was different because they've, you know, they've heard me do the 2 minute presentation, the 5 minute presentation at a church, but you know, to sit for a week and, you know,
listen to you talk about
and listen to me talk in missions moments, like, you know, I mean, they hear me talk all the time, obviously, but you know, it's just a different perspective. And I think it was good for them. It was definitely good for me to, like, you know, realize that, you know, gosh, maybe there are things that I've left out as we've talked about what we do and why we do it. And, you know, here they are in the house and I've missed that moment, but, you know, got to catch them up at camp.
Well, I think one of the interesting things too, is that I think you and I sort of in our own spheres, we're starting to move into the same direction. Of course, we're now having more and more of this conversation about mobilizing younger or trying to connect younger and helping kids at a younger age catch a sense of vision and something. So, you know, I was doing college, you were doing high school, but, and I think both of us were kind of coming at the same sort of place of like recognizing, wait a minute, we really need to think about more than just this college senior.
Yeah.
But go even before that.
Yeah. I think the uniqueness of GCMI, but I think the missions conversation in general, it's helping spark their imagination of what's possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think a lot of people, but especially a lot of young people, like they've been given these boxes of, you know, depending on how you do in school, you could go and, you know, get the mediocre job at the fast food restaurant or the slightly better job going through trade school and, you know, becoming some sort of blue collar worker, or, you know, go off to college and become an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer, you know. And if their churches, if their youth ministers are challenging them at all, they're challenging them with the same kind of narrow boxes of like, be a youth pastor like me, or be a preacher, or go to Africa, go to China, go to, you know, to, you know, Europe as a missionary. And those boxes, and, you know, I mean, we were talking about this a little bit, you know, before the call, of like just what this new generation is really seeing as their purpose.
Yeah.
And that job and purpose aren't necessarily the same thing. Like job might just be the thing that pays the bills, and the purpose is. And so what if we're sparking their imagination of what that purpose could be? And obviously, like, your role, our organization, like, we want to inspire and mobilize full-time missionaries who are dedicating their lives to this. But we also want to see people just not be, you know, a Sunday morning church attender, but be engaged in the mission of Jesus. And maybe that's as an engineer, and the engineer is the pay the bills part, and their purpose is having an impact in the city that God has landed them in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I you know, yeah, I think you're right on. And I think, you know, one of the things we've slightly touched on here, and as we sort of maybe pivot quite for a second and start casting some vision for where we want to talk about this fall. You know, we definitely want to do we're going to do a podcast talking about college ministry. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about your environment where you are
Here in Orlando.
Here in Orlando, in college. And then we definitely want to have some conversations about the next generation. I think this is something that for us as an organization, I know for us in mobilization, we're all really right now thinking about the Gen Z, because that's sort of the ones that are coming up. Those are the ones that we're going to find ourselves mobilizing. So we're having that those internal conversations about who this generation is, what does missions look like for them. And we've touched on it a little bit, but you know, in the fall, we're going to do an episode sort of talking about and exploring Gen Z a little bit, what we've learned, what we're learning, and kind of, I think, how we're going to look at it from a missions perspective and stuff. But I do think that churches could benefit from that conversation as well. So if you're maybe a pastor listening to this, you know, we may look at it from a mission standpoint, but I think you most definitely can gain some insight as a pastor of a church or a youth pastor who may be listening, and how to continue to better connect with that generation. Because I remember what I was going to say a second ago, which is, yes, we want to see full-time missionaries. We want to see mobilizing people in the pew, but we're also, we have to recognize generational realities, and we're also adapting, right? We're going to be willing to adapt. And that, and if I think this is my own personal opinion, I'm just throwing it out there. I think the other piece of that is bivocational. I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, maybe some bivocational, but again, that same idea of I'm an engineer, but then I'm using, you know, I'm sharing the gospel and starting groups and stuff in my neighborhood.
Yeah. We probably need to straight up schedule an episode that talks about bivocational and co-vocational and some of the stuff that we mean internally about that. Yeah. But I think that some of that goes back to, you know, the conversation about the African American church conference that you went to. But some of it's this generational thing too, where the idea of having multiple jobs is no longer a, you know, a fringe thing. It's normal. Like, you know, everybody has a side hustle, and some of it's out of necessity and some of it is out of passion, you know, you know, they want the side hustle because they don't want to be a full-time whatever, whether it's, you know, full-time missionary or full-time, you know, recording engineer, or, you know, they want it to be part-time because they want the stability of the quote real job. And so they've got a boring 9-to-5, you know, and then they have the side hustle that gives them passion.
Which to someone who may be listening right now, they may be like, what? That's crazy. But that's, again, that's one of the things that we're learning as we're starting to sort of turn our attention towards Gen Z. We're just sort of picking up. We're in that place where millennials are no longer the kids, they're at least for the most part, we're kind of in that strange place. So so it probably sounds strange to someone, but we'll unpack it.
So you were at another conference a couple weeks ago. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
So in the first part of August, I was at a conference here in Atlanta. It was the and I have to try to remember exactly how it's worded. Christians for Biblical Equality International Conference. And so again, it's another one of those conferences that we had never been to before, wanted to kind of go check it out. It again, pursuing diversity. And we want to see women serving faithfully and as a part of our team, and participation and fully participating. So so that conference was sort of centered on that, was really about biblical equality and women's roles in the church. And so I found that to be, again, it's another great conference. A lot of I joked with Jared when I got back, I said, I really felt like that was probably more of a conference for you because there was more PhDs in the room than I could possibly imagine. you know, like I'm just this lonely dude. And there's clearly a bunch of very, very highly educated people and having some really great discussions about some, a very important issue. And that's biblical equality with, between men and women. And it, and the focus of it was Galatians 3:28, excuse me. Neither Jew nor Greek nor male or female. So it was very interesting. It was very enlightening. A lot of great, workshops. We did kind of make a connection out of there. Again, another potential school connection, because we're just really looking to network and, again, sort of get ourselves in the door to be able to offer opportunities for, in this case, for women to serve in our ministry.
No, that's awesome. Yeah.
I was going to say they actually have a YouTube channel that all the workshops they put on. I just noticed the other day they put all their workshops on there. So I was excited because there are workshops I didn't get to go to that I want to follow up with.
That's the hard thing of these conferences, right? Is there's always so much good content and only so much time. Yeah. So that kind of brings us to fall, and we are podcast wise, we are back and back to weekly, and we mean it this time. And,
we do. We mean it. We mean it.
It's we were talking before we started recording, just the idea that we probably should have just taken the summer off on purpose.
Yeah.
And we took the summer off by accident, but it was a good couple of months of ministry and family and all the things that are why we do what we do. But unfortunately the podcast kind of went by the wayside. Like, you had some family stuff come up. Ended up with COVID between two of the weeks of crazy that we had scheduled. Weird and randomly, I don't think I told you this, but our family was on vacation in DC, and Gabe was coming down to visit his family in Maryland. And so we ended up having dinner with Gabe one night. And so just kind of the randomness that is, you know, life and ministry.
I am going to rag him hard. I was I was there a week.
Yeah.
7 days. And that joker did not want to come down. But yet with you.
No. Well, I mean, to be fair, he had one of those, you know, only in the Northeast traffic travel days coming down 75. So I think if it had been just for me and it wasn't for family stuff, I think he would have like, oh, sorry, dude, I can't make it. It was a rough day.
I'm going to rag him hard.
Yeah.
Gabe, you're listening to this. I was in DC. You could have come down and you could have saw me, could have hopped on a train, but you didn't, but that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. In fact, the other day, my wife and I were having conversations about going to Philly. I just don't forget it now.
Never mind. Listen, though, Philly is the place, man.
I'm just kidding. I love Gabe.
Yeah. So, but anyways, fall, right? So we're into fall. I know you're getting ready for a couple of college visits. Emily and I think Jared's making it out to one of them. Emily and I are working on a couple college visits and Tyler's going to be at Oklahoma Christian another school, I think.
Yeah. And he's actually one of the cool things that came out of one of our conferences this summer. He's going to go he's got a couple of campus ministries get together for a retreat. So he's going to be at that retreat in, I think it's Missouri near Joplin. So he's going to be up that way too. So that was really exciting.
Yeah. So we're getting busy. We're heading out. I know Jared and I are at a training in October in Huntsville. And then you and I are at ICOM in November.
Yeah.
And so it's weird because, and again, this is your first summer doing this. In some ways, having everybody out of the house and back to school, I feel like the fall slows down because there's not people running in and out of my office all day.
Yeah.
But the other side is like things really do pick up and, you know, we're kind of back into like, this is what we're good at. This is why we do what we do.
Oh yeah.
And, I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be fun. I'm really excited too.
So we've got a long list of some guests on the podcast over the next couple months, some topics that we're going to be discussing with Jared as we talk about, you know, what it looks like to reach Gen Z and to kind of mobilize this next generation, both for the ministry, but also for the kingdom in their day-to-day lives. And yeah, it's going to be good. I'm excited. I'm glad we're back. I'm glad we get to get back into the rhythm and looking forward to this fall.
Yeah, man, me too.
So that's going to wrap it for this episode. We're glad you were able to join us. We're glad we're able to be back and, you know, be back to what we're doing. If you've not already subscribed, head over to globalcitymission.org/podcast, and all your favorite apps are there with how to subscribe, how to get notifications turned on, all that kind of fun. And we look forward to seeing you again next week. And I don't even know, man.
Have a great week.
Have a great week. We'll see you soon. All right.
See you.
Bye-bye.